Sir Hessel's life. He won and lost a wife and had himself a little son. In 1930, he was set free from between his Mahoney's knees. In 1960, he met Ricky. Ricky Dickey, oh, David's son. In 1943, he fell over and hurt his foot and ankle. In 1973, he kissed little Jimmy Cricky. In 1988, he bought a computer.
How is that just great?
Sir Hessel's life. He won and lost a wife and had himself a little son. Oh, sometime in his past, he had been caught smoking grass. Years and years ago, he was in the Navy. He was the cooker of the gravy. Once he was on the beer diet, he choked on the little widget. In 1988, he won a commemorative plate. I broke it. In 2010, what's he gonna do then? Change his name to Ben?
Right then, thank you for this, sir.
You're welcome. This is a bespoke service I offer in my taxi.
Okay.
We're driving you through your life, memories, places, and more metaphysical. So let's start by driving out this dark tunnel. The vagina.
Yes, I'm being given... This is me being given birth to from your grandmother, Paul.
I'm a taxi driver, Cecil. You don't know me. I'm like some kind of ethereal figure, like death shepherding you, but on this particular mission, I'm just driving you down memory lane.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, so... There's you... That's you as a baby, isn't it, Cecil? Just on the left there, weeping openly as your father looks on, smoking a cigar.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now we see you're a toddler. Were you bald from a young age?
No, I just hadn't grown hair yet.
Oh, I see. When did you go bald?
Well, that will come to that in not so long now.
Right, and how old are you here?
This is slightly less, you're just describing me age, and that's not what I was expecting from this experience, excuse me.
We're driving quite quickly, though. I can't stop and pull over and have a look at you. All right, here's some traffic. Here's you at school, it would seem to look like. In 19, when's this?
This is 1939. I was 9 years old. And I was being bullied by two absolute bastards.
They look it. They're pummeling you, kicking you, pulling at your trousers, trying to pull your underpants over your head.
Yes, that's Mr. Cartwright and that's Mr. Morehouse, the head teacher and the deputy. They absolutely hated me. Used to beat me up every day and take my packed lunch, which was usually a slice of bread, dripping, and a cup ready for the glass of water from the tap.
Right, and was tap water a new invention in 1939?
Don't be so cheeky.
No, but seriously, was it, Cecil?
I don't know when tap water became available. Probably not too long before then, actually.
What?
Mr. Morehouse there, his wife stabbed him in 1954.
Why?
He was having an affair with the deputy head.
Oh, dear.
Salacious at the time. They were both genital men.
Doof.
How far we've come now. You lose your job if you mock the homosexuals.
Well, rightly so, Cecil.
Oh, yes. I wasn't saying it was a bad thing. It's just... You look at how far aviation has come in nearly 100 years, Paul. You go on big jumbo jets now, and I love it. Above it all, Cecil will fly above it all.
Yeah, that man in that transit van's looking at you, Cecil.
Right. Is he transgender?
I don't know. He's got a nice hat on. I'd like that hat.
Yes. Is that a beaver?
I think so.
Oh.
So we've moved forward in time slightly, Cecil, by a few years.
Yes, now this is me going to war on in the Navy. You can shit yourself all day in the Navy. Half the people are gay in the Navy. They'll bum you with no say in the Navy, etc.
Right. You're going to the stereotype that all people in the Navy are homosexuals?
Well, I've heard some genuine stories from my good friend Bernard, who was in the Navy, about what they got up to. Eye-opening, eye-watering.
Meh.
Your mother's grandfather was in the Navy too. Yes, he would regale you with some stories, let me tell you, Paul.
No, I'm not interested. Thanks, Cecil.
Right.
Driving forward now that we're in the war, Cecil.
Yes, now it's been well documented, my activities in some of the war. I was on my boat, I was attacked, and we know this, I went on a lifeboat. But then the other boats I was on, two other boats, Paul.
Taxi driver?
Yes. One of them was attacked. We didn't sink this time, but my kitchen was absolutely ruined. Got tipped over, spilt the gravy everywhere. We were going to have goose for Christmas, but we never got to. It fell on the floor. Then O'Brien kicked it. Don't know why he kicked it, but it landed headfirst in the unsanitary area, which, if you don't know, is a toilet. But it wasn't a toilet, it was just a bucket, because we weren't allowed to abandon our stations. And it was just a bucket of vomit, diarrhoea, and more vomit and more diarrhoea. Horrendous.
And you kept that in the kitchen?
We had to! Couldn't abandon our post.
Why, even to cook? Couldn't keep the kitchen sanitary. Wouldn't that risk outbreak of cholera, dysentery?
Yes. That's why we had to throw the goose away.
Right. That seems silly, Cecil.
Yes.
And the third boat?
That was the boat I got home. It was a pleasure cruiser from one that you might see at a seaside resort town. And it took me from France back to Blighty And it has sunk.
Why did it sink? Because there was the war not over.
Yes, the war was over. But it was crammed so full of seamen that seamen just started spinning out over the side. And then some seamen were holding on, and then some seamen got all caught up in the engine and gunked all the engine up with too much seamen. Everywhere there was bits of seamen. It was horrendous.
Right.
And it sank.
Overloaded with seamen, was it?
Yes. And sailors.
That's where the seamen came from, Cecil.
Yep. Jizz everywhere.
Ah, Cecil. That's put horrendous images in my mind.
Should have been there, Paul. Like swimming in wallpaper paste.
Ugh.
And people were just happy that the war was over.
Right. Okay. Let's drive away from this area. Actually, don't like it. Smells bad here. Let's drive forward into the 50s, Cecil.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
Oof. It fell out like leaves in autumn.
Yep. One day I had the most beautiful parade of hair across my head, and then 2 days later, plumph, instant alopecia.
Why?
It was the stress of being back in civilian life, having to find a job, a house, things to do with to pass my time.
And what did you do?
Well, straight out of the war, when I was demobbed, if that's the thing that is what they say, I went to live with my mother and my father, but they wouldn't take me back. They said I was a grown man now, and I need to make my own way in the world. Which is part of the reason I don't make you.
But?
I mean, why I don't make my son go and make his own way in the world. It ruined me for such a long time. I had to go and live with beatniks.
Doof.
Yes, they'd eat beans every night for tea. Lentils. This was before hippies were a thing.
Eh.
Horrendous.
Why?
The Trumps. The constant Trumps, Paul.
What did you do for money?
Well, the 50s, you didn't need a lot of money, thankfully. Because I didn't smoke, I made quite a lot of money offering people matches.
What?
You just walk around and say, do you want a light? That'll be 2 and 6 pence, or 8 and 7 halfpence. 2 penny farthings, whatever it was. 7 threepenny bits and a quarter pound of how's your father? Something like that.
Yeah, and you made enough money doing that?
I did for a bit, got in the pubs and clubs. And I started with a skiffle band back in the day. They introduced me to the guitar instrument that I so enjoy.
Man.
I knew 2 chords, B7, and G7, and that's enough for skiffle.
Is it?
Well, I don't know. It was back then, don't know about now. I'd play a guitar and then on my shoulder I would have a washboard that I'd go drrr, da, da, drrr, da, da, drrr, but in a skiffle beat.
Right, it's nice of you.
Yeah, it was lovely. We played the pubs and clubs of Biddeton. And I took up smoking a pipe for about 2 hours. I just spent most of it vomiting, so I didn't like that. And I had to spend 6 and 8 7 pence on how's your father, halfpenny, peppenny bits, apples and pears, and 2 quarters.
What?
On asking people to light my pipe for me.
Man.
And I said to a gentleman called Jim Morrison, come on, sir, light my pipe. Come on, set my pipe on fire. You know you want to know. And so on, etc. You get the picture. You see where I'm coming with this.
Yeah. Oh, what's this then, Cecil?
Well, this is... I abandoned it all. It got too heady. The lifestyle was too much for me. I thought, no, thank you. I'm going to go work in a corner shop.
met?
So I did. I met with Mr. Leicestershire, and he gave me a job working in the, well, the shop. Now then, I would often get a lemon and lime drink when I'd left work.
Right. Why?
It's what you would have. Back in the day, you'd go to the public house, and I was not one for alcohol. I thought it was a bit pedestrian. Made me feel giddy, and I don't like to feel giddy. Or I didn't back then, anyway. And I thought, that no, that's not for me, so give me a lovely lime cordial.
Right.
And I'd sip it in the beer garden, and me and the lads from the shop would just talk about, well, they'd talk about women, and I'd talk about some... Oh dear, look out, Mr. Taxi Driver, here comes a memory, quickly.
What's that?
That's when my parents were killed.
Oh, that's awful memory to make you remember there. What happened?
Well, if that helps you. One day, mother and father were coming back from the theatre, and a robber stopped them, and he clutched at my mother's pearls.
Yeah.
And my father wouldn't give him his wallet. So he stabbed them, or shot them, I can't remember which. Shot them, I think, yes. And then he shot my mother and stole her pearls. And I became an orphan. And it ruined me for the rest of my life, I'll be honest with you. And then when I was walking around the garden, I fell through a disused well. Fell to the bottom of it and hurt my ankles. And then lots of bats came. And they really terrified me, put the shit up me. I thought, bloody hell, they're scary. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to become Vengeance, a dark knight, putting fear into the hearts of the criminal underbelly of bidded... Hang on, that's Batman.
Yeah, I thought that was Batman.
Oh, I don't remember then. I think they just died of old age, didn't they?
I don't know, I never met them. It's a problem when you have kids when you're in your 50s, Cecil.
Yeah, all right, character, please.
Oh, sorry, pal. So then what happened?
Well, then I moved away because things were getting a bit heavy and hard for me at the shop. I had women coming in trying to flirt with me to get money off all the produce we sold. And I thought, I can't do this. Like, I need to be honest, I can't give ladies 4% off for some remnants of fabric. So I moved to the next town over from Bidderton and got a job reupholstering steam trains.
Right.
And I did that for years and years. I was a very good seamstress.
Yeah.
I loved it. Every night and day, there I was. On my knees, on a seat, fitting steam train chairs. I did a bit of curtains. I did some carpets too, but I didn't really like them because you had to go on your knees quite a lot, and I had very delicate knees at that age.
Yeah. Interesting, says. It's not funny necessarily, but it's interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's when I met the first love of my life.
Oh right, we get to some kind of. Were you still a virgin at this point? How old were you?
Well, this was in the early 60s, no, early 70s, was it?
So how old were you?
40-odd.
Nah.
She was beautiful. She was big. Oh, she was big. She was stocky. She was powerful. She was bright red. She had a lovely, shiny set of wheels on her. She was a B164. From Barnstable to Cutton Donstall, it went to. It was wonderful. I'd ride her every night, going home and back.
Man.
It was a train, you know, you get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see where you're going with that, Cecil. So, sorry.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Well, there she is, look. We're driving by the side of her.
Oh, she's beautiful. Goodness gracious me. It's like a female Thomas the Tank Engine. Poof. Takes your breath away, Cecil.
Take my breath away. Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, hey. Take my breath away.
All right.
And that's when I got into singing like a woman.
Right, you do have some quite a... Is it falsetto voice? You could have been a Bee Gee.
Well, you could tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's gentleman. I've got no time to talk. Staying alive. Staying alive. Staying alive.
Yeah, all right. You need more vibrato.
Yes. And, so me and the train boys, some of the engineers, we became the Titty Burpin' players.
Right. What did you do?
We did music, obviously.
Yeah, and I get that, Cecil. So where did PVC fit into all this then, Cecil?
Oh yes, there were a detour in the 60s I'd rather not think about, quite frankly.
But come on, we're passing one of your major gigs now.
Oh yes.
Who's that?
That's Percival, the P of PVC. And there's Volto, and there's Cecil.
Right, Volto?
Yes.
Kind of name's that?
He was a heavy metal drummer in a previous band, even though heavy metal hadn't existed yet. He did hard rock drumming, and that was his name. He thought he made him sound electric, because electricity was fairly new back in the 60s, Paul. You've no idea how cushy you have it.
I do sometimes. Wait. No, you've stalled the bastard. Gone wrong.
Oof. What are you doing?
Stole the stupid car. Anyway, carry on, Cecil.
Yes, he was a hard rock drummer, a hard drinking man. He took too much alcohol into his body one day and died.
Oh, choking on vomit.
No. Choking on walnuts.
Walnuts?
Yes. It was heady. We had figs, walnuts, various forms of cheeses in a hotel room.
Oof, blimey.
Yes. And he passed out with a walnut up his both nostrils.
Oof.
Oof, indeed.
Could he not breathe out of his mouth?
No, he was wearing a gimp mask.
What?
I was one of his stage personas. Very blue he was. Me and Percival weren't blue. We didn't dress up. We didn't do any form of theatre on our performances. But Volto, oh my goodness gracious. He was all over the shop. Big fat sunglasses one day. A gimp balaclava the next day. One day he came in with just... seashells all glued to his face with super glue. Couldn't get it off, so we had to sing sea shanties, he said.
Excuse me about that.
Yes.
What sea shanties did you sing?
I don't remember. Oh, old Mrs. McGill. She sells on the shelves. And it went about that well, Paul.
Right. You've always struggled with your S's, as you would say, Cecil.
Yes, I've got beautiful enunciation.
Yeah, enunciation, Cecil.
Yes, well, my dentures have never fitted.
When did your teeth fall out?
1953.
Why?
I forgot to brush them for 12 years. So they fell out and my dentures don't fit beautifully, but they fit enough and I look fantastic.
You do, Cecil, you're a beauty.
Right.
So is that why PVC broke up? Because Volto died?
Yes, yes it was. And the record deal fell through.
What record deal did you have?
We had a deal with his mother to buy 15 different vinyls every month. Because she owned a record shop, you know.
Oh, right, you didn't actually have a record deal with your band?
No, no, don't be silly, we weren't that big.
No, that's a shame. You could have made it big, Cecil.
Yeah, then where would we be?
Don't know. Touring with Status Quo? Genesis, something like that?
Who knows? No.
So what's this we're driving up to now, sir?
Oh, this... Oh, dear me, now this... Is this a metaphor?
It might be. What's that?
It's a homunculus of Margaret and Beryl.
There. Two twins intertwined. Like some kind of thing from Jason and the Argonauts, a big scary monster with Margaret's face and Beryl's face, two heads, and a big fat gut.
Yes. Now this represents Margaret and Beryl, who one of whom was pregnant with you and one of whom wasn't, obviously. And I still to this day don't know which one's your real mother, Paul. I had intercourse with one of them when we were camping all together, and then one of them gave birth to you, and they won't tell me which is which. Stupid identical twins.
Yeah.
So that represents the confusion of which woman's which.
Right. But does that help you? What does that smell of to you?
No, that's giving me a very heady combination of scents.
Is it?
I just said it was. Why would I say it was if it wasn't?
What does it remind you of?
Ass.
Excuse me?
Back bottoms.
Oh, sorry about that, sir.
Do you ever brush your teeth?
Never.
What have you been eating, Paul?
Pot scratchings.
No.
Is that what rectums taste like, Cecil?
I've got a bloody clue. Just smells. Smells unpleasant. Halitosis.
No, sorry about that. I'll chew on a mint-flavoured chocolate orange. Is it mint-flavoured chocolate orange? Does it still have an orange tang? Or is it just minty?
How should I know?
Sarah. Oh, now then, there's another boat coming up, Cecil. What's this all about?
This is the boat that I went whale watching on.
Is that a euphemism? Because it's a pedalo, Cecil.
Yes. Me and your mother went to Gibraltar and we got in a pedalo and we just went up and down the seafront looking at all the fat women.
Oof, Cecil, that's blue.
It's a bit blue, isn't it? But that's what happened.
Why did Mother go along with that, then?
She wanted to get a new idea for a new shiny bikini.
Right. And did she find one?
No idea. I was too erect to notice what she was looking at. It was topless, you know, you get me. You see where I'm coming with this, Paul?
Right. Oof. This is a rough patch, Cecil.
Yes, this is a representation of the first year of marriage to Margaret. Very rough patch in my life, oh goodness gracious. We fought, we argued, and then we realised that we need separate beds, separate bedrooms for a little while.
Oh dear.
Yes. Your mother's a night owl, I'm a morning early worm, and I didn't want that bird to get me. Not at a night time, and she didn't want me to get her on a morning. It was very rough. Oh, but then the smooth parts came, Paul.
Yeah.
Yes. I got through with a rough patch, Paul.
Yeah.
And then this is where me and your mother had a little bit of a falling out. I started calling myself the Mauve Maharaja.
The what?
The Mauve Maharaja. I thought I was Indian for some time. I got heavily into doing Hindu and items.
What Hindu items?
I liked incense sticks, coloured fabrics, musicals, and music halls, but I don't think that was particularly... excuse me. Hinduism? Hedonism?
Something like that, don't know.
And your mother took deep offence to it. She's not a racist. She just didn't like it, didn't fit in with the lifestyle we'd built for ourselves. So while you were born, and for 2 years, I left her.
Oof.
When I left her, she was, before she knew I was leaving her, she was the most happy-go-lucky woman you could ever meet. And then when I came back after 2 years, she was Margaret. Ning-ning-naring all the way around the world. Furious. Quick to anger. And furious. Now, I know I've said she's furious twice. I just want to impress upon you the sheer amount of furiosity she exudes.
Why did you leave her?
I felt I had things I needed to do. I had to go and find myself. Turns out I was with myself all along. Went and spent 14 months in Hungary.
All right.
I lived in a commune where we could only wear primary colours depending on our feel.
I like my T-shirt wearing system.
A little bit, but not as aggressive. We didn't have aggressive colours like you had. We had red, blue and yellow.
Right. I've got loads of different colours for it, depending on how hungry I'm feeling or how randy I'm feeling. You don't want to catch me wearing tie-dye, Cecil. I'm feeling lots of emotions.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a taxi driver, Paul.
Sorry, forgot, pal.
What emotion are you feeling now with that light blue tunic you're wearing?
Boredom.
No! So, yes, after I left Hungary, when I lived with Linda and Jeffrey, I moved in for 8 months to a small house in Paris.
Did you?
Yes, I just said I did. I lived with Gaston and Marie.
Are they a married couple?
Brother and sister.
Right, and what happened?
I worked in a French patisserie making English gravy. They'd never known the like, Paul.
Right.
I sent letters to your mother every week. She never once wrote back.
Oh, because she was furious at you.
Yeah, I did go back eventually. Just turned up on a doorstep like nothing had happened. She didn't let me in till 2 Christmases. I slept in the shed. Well, my shed, anyway. I had every right to sleep in that shed. It was actually more preferable to sleeping with your mother. Tins of paint don't snore and nip you in the night.
Don't you get quite handsy in your sleep, though, Cecil?
Yes, I do. But the folded-up lawn chair didn't mind. The garden hose didn't mind if I punched it, pinched it, nipped it and caressed it.
Yeah.
Helped around the house. I did lots of work around the house. Got into my DIY.
Right.
And then it was by the time you turned 4, Paul, I got a cheque in the post for £1,800,000.
That's not a figure that exists, Cecil.
£180,000, is that a figure?
Yeah, that's proper maths, Cecil. Why?
The commune that we were part of won in a lottery, Hungarian lottery syndicate. They won millions and I got my share. Because I was still sending money to, what's his name?
No idea.
Hans.
Right.
He was in charge. He did an outreach programme, Paul, with the local disaffected youth.
What did he do?
he would go out on a Saturday night and just reach out to them with his arms and do a spooky face.
Why?
To try and get more people into the cult. Turned out it was a cult. But anyway, that money, we bought Cristela 1.0 in Bidderton. And that was it. We just made holiday flats out of it. And your mother forgave me and bade me come hither to her parlour. And we did a sexual intercourse, Paul.
I'm not interested in that.
No, you wouldn't be. It was awful. I'd not washed in 6 months. There was no washing facilities in the shed. Save for a watering can that I used to dampen down my moustache.
Oh, right.
And that was it from then on. Every living hour of our life was dedicated to the people, places, and Antimuscus of Cristela.
Right.
I didn't want people getting their dirty hair on my sofas, so we put Antimuscus on all the furniture, even on the towels and the pillows.
And what are you talking about?
You do, you know, those head things that you have on the back of sofas in the olden days to stop people's Grecian 2000 getting on your sofa.
Antimacassar?
Yeah, I was.
Right.
And we made really very good money, Paul.
Did you?
I just said we did. Why do you have to question me at every turn?
It sounds a bit far-fetched, Cecil. I've never heard of any of this before.
Well, you're hearing about it now, big boy.
True, I am. That's undeniable.
And then you went to school, and then freed me and your mother up to watch daytime television.
You walked me to school every day until I was 18, Cecil. Do you know how embarrassing that was?
I didn't want you getting mixed up with the wrong sort, Paul.
You didn't get mixed up with any sort, Cecil. You kept me on a tight collar. Not a literal one, not into that kind of thing, Cecil. I just felt you were oppressing me with your control, Cecil. So I got into heavy metal music, didn't I?
That's not why you got into heavy metal music, Paul.
But yeah, because it was anti-establishment, Cecil. And you wouldn't cut the apron strings.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. I was a rebel. Every Saturday night and morning, and every weekday night, you'd make me come and play Scrabble with you and Mum in the kitchen. You wouldn't let me look at The Simpsons. You said it was a bad influence. Rude comedy, you said it was. So I rebelled.
You never did bloody rebel, though, did you? You still live at home.
Yeah. Do you know how expensive the world is, Cecil? Thought you wanted me to be a taxi driver.
Yeah, you're making excuses now. Excuses for gooses is what I say you're calling it.
Right.
Did you not enjoy having your old papa with you? I would have loved my father to have spent time with me and be as dedicated as I was to you.
Yes, in many ways it makes me weep to think how involved you got in my life, Cecil. I'm moved to tears that you showed me affection like that. Loved it, Cecil. If I'm being honest with you. But if I'm being hard and heavy metal, then whatever. Go and live in a flat on my own, smoke heroin and do inject cocaine into my bum. Whatever it is that they do, I'm like Sid Vicious.
Yes, that sounds stupid.
It's not the most ideal way to live, I'll admit that, Cecil. I'd rather just, you know, watch Bargain Hunt with a full pack of bourbons and play Countdown with you.
So I was right all along?
Yeah, you were. Pal, sorry, I'm supposed to be a taxi driver. Let's get back to your life, Cecil. So, then your wife left you at some point.
Yeah, she ran off with a man called Clive because he was too sexy. We all knew he was.
Yeah. He exuded I don't know what men exude that attract women. He was like that Lenny Henry character from the 80s. that it was a bit like, what's his name now?
Wildebeest.
No, Barry White. He was like, that's what Clive was like, wasn't it? He'd come into the house and do,
backwards.
Can't do it. But it was like that. Come into my kitchen, love. Taste my pastry items. Come into my kitchen, love. I love to see you in your nightums.
Your nightums?
It's a bit like 90s, but sexier.
Yes. And that went on for a little while, but then she came back to me. Came crawling back, didn't she, Paul?
Yeah, but what about when she went to Spain as well?
Yeah. Well, I know. I don't want to go over it, Paul. It upsets me.
Fair enough. You were the one that wanted to come to Memory Lane. What if you get to Memory Lane, but like all of them, Cecil, it's a dead end. Because, you know, eventually your light's going to get snuffed out, Cecil.
Yeah, by being too sexy.
What do you mean?
I'll get mobbed by women clamouring for some sex with Cecil.
That'd be disgusting.
Yeah. They're insatiable, wild animal lust when they see me in my best toupee and string vests. They won't be able to do anything but mob me like I'm Gary Barlow.
Yeah, probably. But we're not there yet, Cecil.
No, I've got ages to go yet.
Yeah.